from Kroll come to Utah. This is a first for me, just like you. I'm going to be taking notes just like you. I've never heard this training. I've never heard this information. I've never met this gentleman until last night when we got to go to dinner and had a fabulous dinner, fabulous time. I'm excited to build my knowledge, to build my belief in the product and the service that we offer through Kroll. Would you all give it up for Mr. Matthew Kidder?
Wow. Thank you so much for having me here. Listen, I really do want to give one more round of applause for everybody that was recognized today. That's an outstanding accomplishment. Thank each and every one of you. I have to be honest, I'm a bit of an emotional guy, and I appreciate Mrs. Burns over here for her emotion, too. I'm the same way. I don't think I've met some of the nicest people anywhere I've met here in Utah. You guys have been very hospitable to me. I want to give special thanks to the leadership team, to Dave, to Mark, to Daniel, to the entire team. Thank you so much. I live and work in Nashville, Tennessee, where our main office is, and everyone says people in Nashville are some of the nicest people in the nation, but I have to say, you all rival them, if not beat them. So that comes from my heart. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it. I want to talk a little bit about myself. I promise I won't talk too much. And then we'll get into a little bit about Kroll and, of course, the Identity Theft Shield product. I am a Legal Shield member. I'm also an Identity Theft Shield member. I've had to use Legal Shield before. I'll tell you my story. We have two kids now. My wife was trying to do the same thing, go to work as well. So we thought it'd help out if we hired a reputable company to help out a little bit around the house with some cleaning. I looked for a company that was licensed and insured, just in case we had any problems, we'd be okay, right? Well, we come home, and we have a glass-top dining room table, and there's a pretty good-sized chip in there. And my kids are too young to create that sort of damage. And plus, they were out of the house when it happened. So we thought, of course, you know, we'll take pictures. We'll talk to the company. They're licensed. They're insured. No problem, right? Put everything together, send it off, and they say, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Kidder, that we're not going to reimburse you for your table. That's it. That's all I needed. One call to my attorney. They sent me a copy of the letter that they sent, and I was like, wow, there's no way I could write a letter like that with such professionalism, such force. 1 week, now mind you, it wasn't a very expensive table, but 1 week I had a check for the full price of that replacement. Now, you heard the story earlier about the carpet and buying that little mat to cover up the stain. That made me laugh because we did find a nice-looking placemat to cover that chip. But it's good. It's such a great product. Now, and also, like I said, I'm an Identity Theft Shield member. And, in fact, I've got special direct access to my investigator. But, hey, I could be a victim at any time, just like any of us. So that's why it's so important to have that access to the investigators and the program itself. Now, a little bit about me. I've been with Kroll for about 5 years. Actually, just celebrated my 5th anniversary with Kroll. I've been married to my lovely wife for about the same amount of time. I celebrated our 5th anniversary together. And I'll tell you a little story about that. We wanted to do something extra special. My wife said, hey, I want to do something really special for this. You know, take me somewhere where I don't go very often. So I took her to the kitchen. Just kidding. Just a joke. And I do all the, I do most of the cooking because I like to eat. All right, that's what I say. So, anyways, I love my wife dearly. And before joining Kroll, I'll let you know about my first job. I was a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. First day at the office, I was hired on. Showed up at the office September 10th, 2001. As you know, Morgan Stanley was one of the largest tenants in the World Trade Center. I was down at a branch office down in Florida, where I'm originally from, and I was scheduled to go there within a few weeks. In fact, we had trainees from our office in the second tower when the second plane hit. They made it out okay. Everybody from our office made it out. But of course, as you know, the Dow took a turn for the worse, and being a new broker in the business, it wasn't the best place to be. But I felt a call to patriotism. My family was all in the Army, so I thought, if I'm going to do it, this is the time to do it, after what just happened. So I signed up for the Army. I was going to go to Officer Candidate School to be an engineer. Went through basic training. I went to Officer Candidate School. I broke my foot unexpectedly, and I wasn't able to complete training. But they said, hey, you're going to have to go knee to the Army. That sounds pretty scary, right? Turns out they needed military police. So I went off to a military police school, and I worked as hard as I could, even with my foot still healing. And I was the Distinguished Honor Graduate of military police school. And I had plans of going back to Officer Candidate School, but it didn't work out. I showed up at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with the 101st Airborne Division, and I got orders to deploy to Afghanistan. So I went over there. We did a lot of great work there. Everybody made it back safe. So praise God for that. And when I came back to Kentucky, I got picked up by the Criminal Investigation Division. I'm sure many of you have seen NCIS. But it's a counterpart, nothing like the TV show, though, I assure you. But I worked, so I was a plainclothes officer and did a lot of cool stuff, collaborated with the FBI. Following my contract with the Army, that's when I went on with Kroll, and I actually became a licensed investigator. And I was able to talk to thousands of people. I have even talked to some of you in this room. One of my last speaking engagements out in Orange County, California, one of my longtime friends, my longtime customers, happened to be sitting there. I had no idea, so it was great to meet him face to face. But anyways, that's where I come from. I do want to talk about Kroll in general. And I figured what we would do is get started with a little quiz. You didn't think you were going to be taking any tests, did you? But look where we are, right? Institution of Higher Learning. So that's what we're going to do. So here's a question. Which of the following groups don't need to worry about becoming a victim of identity theft? People with poor credit. People who do not use credit, they only use cash. Elderly people. Now, before I put the last one up, I do want to remind you, let's keep the answers to ourselves, because I'm actually going to call on a volunteer who, if you get the question right, you will receive this Kroll pin and lanyard. None of the above. This gentleman right here in the white shirt and the tie. Let's see if you're right. Oh, good shot. All right, great job. All right, let's do one more. Which of the following activities could make you vulnerable to identity theft? Applying for a new job, using a home computer without security software installed and keeping it up to date, breathing, A and B. This gentleman right here. Excellent choice. Excellent. Broken. Oh, right. Nice catch, too. All right. Round of applause. All right, so this is a little bit about Kroll and Altegrity as a whole. As you know, we are required by Altegrity. I want to just briefly talk about the different lines of business in Altegrity. There's USIS, which is U.S. Investigation Services, and you probably heard they do a lot of background checks for the government. They do a lot of work with the military and for those top secret security clearances. And the secret security clearances, they're involved, they're contracted, they're calling everyone you ever knew, all the way back to the first grade probably, trying to get a good background report. We also have HireRight, which does general background screening for companies. And, of course, Kroll. It's a global organization, 30 companies, 11,000 employees. So when you're out there talking about Kroll, you know, you might get questions about Altegrity, about the global aspect of our company. So it's good just to know a little bit of history when you're out there talking with members. All right, so let's talk about the strengths of Kroll and some of the differentiators. We always talk about our licensed investigators. That is really the core of our company. They work with numerous you know, helping them through all the problems. We got all the war stories. They're licensed investigators. They're licensed as PIs in the state of Tennessee. And what that does is it gives them permissible purpose to access certain databases that are typically reserved for law enforcement and anyone that has a permissible purpose to access those. Why that's important is because there's often instances of identity theft where actually they appear to be identity theft. It turns out it's some sort of a mix-up. So our investigators are able to access these databases, find out if someone has a social security number that's just maybe one digit off. We see that quite a bit, causing all sorts of problems. And we're able to give them relief and talk to them, tell them how to get everything corrected. But that's really the core of the business are those licensed investigators. Now, of course, we have a full-service consultation restoration services, and that's important because, if you think about it, let's just say that you had your doctor on call, and any type of ache or pain you had, you could just pick up the phone and give them a call. That would be really nice to have. Fortunately, it's not the case in our healthcare system. But you have that here. You've got the consultation. You notice anything out of the ordinary. Because it's very rare that someone's a victim of identity theft and there's no red flags. So, it could be anything. A strange phone call. Anything out of the ordinary. You're going to want to give our investigators a call so we can work through it. Access those databases. Find out what's really going on. Of course, innovation. We've got team members that are dedicated just to keeping up on all the different products that are out there in the industry and find out how we can be innovative and cutting edge. And that's really how the strength just builds up. It starts at a personal level and builds up from there. And that's a lot of how the organization works. It's about relationships. When you call one of our investigators, they give you their extension. You're working with that investigator. What's important about that, they don't have to retell your story. You get a chance to build trust with that investigator and call them back whenever you need to. And that's really important. That's one of the big differentiators. All right, so we've got a couple videos here, and I'm going to get them started. This is our supervisor of our investigations unit, Ellen, and she's going to kill me for the way this video is edited, freeze-framed here. But let me get this started, and we're going to hear actually from some licensed investigators.
Hello. My name is Ellen Abbott, and I'm a supervisor here at Cole Fraud Solutions. In a few moments, you're going to see a few video clips of investigators. I'll be asking them some questions about some of their cases, some of their calls, where they're from, and some stories they'd like to share. Enjoy.
What do you like most about your job?
Easily the best part about my job is dealing with people who are in situations where they have nowhere else to turn, and they are basically at wit's end in dealing with an identity theft issue. And one of the great advantages to my job is that basically I'm here to make sure the problem gets resolved for the individual and do everything we can with our knowledge base to show them that they're not responsible for things they didn't do and that we can stop the harassment, the collection calls, the variety of things that happen as a result of identity theft once we get a chance to really get into the problem and determine what the issues are and what needs to be resolved. And I think it's a special job in the sense that I get an opportunity to help people where no one else has been able to up to this point. And that's probably the best part about the job.
Cool. So what is one of your most memorable calls or cases or situations where you've helped somebody out with identity theft issues?
I would say it's difficult to pick one because I deal with a lot of these situations, and in the last 5 years I've had several that were pretty close and dear to me. Most recently I did have a situation where an elderly couple who's on a fixed income had their electricity bill stolen, or basically what had happened was somebody had stolen their information to open up a second electric account in their name. They ran up $2,000 in charges and then disappeared. And so the electric company then decided to go after them for the account that was not theirs. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the individuals in question were an elderly couple on a fixed income wherein they had no way of paying for the debt and had no idea of how to deal with the situation. Mm-hmm. And by the time they got to me, they had received a shut-off notice from their electric company that if they did not pay the $2,000 bill, which they could not pay, that they were going to lose their electricity. Mm. And for a couple in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, this was going to be a big problem.
Right.
So our ability to, at that point, immediately address the issue, get on the phone with the electric company, explain the situation, and then expedite the process of resolving the identity theft account, mm-hmm. prevented the shutoff from happening from their electric service, and as well as gave them peace of mind that somebody was finally there to help them get this all resolved.
How cooperative was the electric company at first when you talked to them?
At first, not very. One of the skills we've developed here as investigators is learning how to get to the top, so to speak, mm-hmm. where the first person you talk to on the phone is not quite as sympathetic and understanding of what the issue is. However, we know how to go up the phone tree and get to the supervisors in charge to explain to them the situation. And we are very good at explaining to individuals at these various creditors and utility companies that the person is simply not responsible for this fraudulent activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a matter of me processing the documents that were needed in order to prove the claim that this was identity theft in the fastest way possible to, number one, prevent the shutoff, and number two, to resolve the account. But the initial phone call, the best part about that phone call was when I finally got a supervisor on the phone who finally understood what the problem was and could see that the elderly couple had nothing to do with the other account,
mm-hmm.
clearly because they had lived in the same house since 1965 and had no reason to have a second electric account, that they suspended the shutoff, final shutoff notice, until we had resolved the identity theft issue.
Nice. Way to go, Tim. Very rewarding, huh? Good feeling?
Indeed. Yeah, and I get this a lot, but we get a lot of calls, sometimes not as dramatic as this, but situations where by the end of the conversation, I hear this probably two or three times a day in the calls I take that, you know, thank God I had somebody like yourself to call when the situation happened, because I don't know where else we could have turned to get this resolved.
Right, right.
That's our investigator, Tim O'Donohue. Now, I've already spoke with one person that's worked with Tim before. Is there anyone else back here? Great. All right. Yeah, he's one of our, all of our, we have a very tenured team there, but he's been around for a long time, seeing all sorts of different cases. Now, what stood out for you from that video in general? He does care. Absolutely. What else? Very knowledgeable. We send out customer satisfaction surveys, and the knowledge of investigators, we always score very high. In fact, our surveys overall, they range from 0 to 5 points, and we average 4.8 overall. So very, very high customer satisfaction. Knowing how to call up the chain, absolutely. I was going to bring that point up, too. All right. And the 3 points I kind of jotted down there was... he said, helping people who have nowhere else to turn. No one else was able to help them. We see that all the time. That's one of the most rewarding experiences about this job. An elderly couple were victims. These opened a second utility account. Now, I know this was kind of a dramatic story. He mentioned that they were in Ohio. Now, potentially, this could be, if they were going to get their utilities cut off, this could potentially be a life or death situation. I know this is extreme, but it's something to think about. How these thieves are disrupting people's lives. And we're able to get that taken care of. And an excellent point back here about how we're able to escalate up the chain. We've all been stuck in those automated messages trying to get a hold of the right person. Anyways, we're able to know what type of questions to ask. And if we're not getting the response that we want, we're going to talk to the supervisor. We don't wait also to open up a restoration case. We often do conference calls with these organizations on that first call. We want to get results for that member on that very first call. If we need to follow up with restoration afterwards, we get that fraud packet right out to them. Yeah. I've tried to save plenty of time for questions, so definitely welcome. Thank you. All right, so let's talk about Identity Theft Shield in general. Our partnership with Legal Shield was established in 2003. So we're going 8 years strong, and that's thanks to everyone out here. I commend you for that. We're always looking at better ways to improve our services. And, you know, it's good to do these types of events because we actually take that information back, that intel, to improve our services, and we also can talk with Legal Shield Corporate. You've heard often about how our services complement each other. It really is a full suite of package when you talk about the Identity Theft Shield product plus Legal Shield. Now, our investigators are great. They are not attorneys. And if something were to come up that requires an attorney, better have that Legal Shield program in place. If not, you better get it. We know what we're able to do. We know what the attorneys are able to do. For example, someone may call in with a huge case of identity theft. We're able to restore that identity, but there's a chance maybe that maybe something's gone on for a little bit too long. Maybe someone waited too long to call us. Now they've got a judgment out there. There's court paperwork. That's when we get the attorneys involved, and it really is a seamless process. Because of the services that we have in place, our membership has continued to grow. If you look back at the start, what do we have? 48,000 memberships? Over 1 million today. Right. And you got a viable business plan, a great product, when your concern is about the customer and getting them the products and the services that they need, that they can really use, that's what it's all about, and that's where the growth is really comes from. I want to let everybody know about our global fraud report. There's a lot of information in here that you can use out there in your sales cycle and out in the field. Go to Kroll.com and look for the global fraud report. It comes out once a year in every fall. The brand new issue is out. It's for 2011-2012. There's also previous versions on there from 2010-2011 and an update that they do in the spring. So this has a lot of information you can use when you're out there selling the process. I encourage everyone to keep a copy with you. Of course, our products. We've got a full range of products. We want to be able to offer what the member wants. We've got the green product, the gold product, and we've got our Canadian services, and we also have Safeguard. For those that may not know the products too well, the main difference between green and gold is green, you have the one bureau, continuous credit monitoring, and gold is three bureau monitoring. Gold is the more complete package. We recommend that most people go with the gold product. Now, between the credit bureaus, oftentimes, you know, when you're dealing with major retailers, they're going to report a new account to all three credit bureaus. So that one credit bureau monitoring is very valuable. However, oftentimes creditors will only report an inquiry, a credit inquiry, to one of the bureaus. So I believe the three bureau monitoring is a better product, but the one bureau monitoring is a great product. Of course, we have our Safeguard for Minors, which is looking for credit header data for minor children. All right, who's ready for some more quizzes? Everyone has a credit file when they become 18 years of age. True or false? Yes, ma'am. False. It's only until a consumer establishes credit that they have a credit report. So, good job. All right, again, I'll come back to the value of the partnership between Legal Shield and Kroll. It really is a seamless solution. If we can go through kind of the flow of how that kind of works, oftentimes we'll get a member calling into Kroll, like I said before. Maybe, you know, oftentimes what we're really hoping for is that it's not an identity theft situation, and we're able to confirm that for the caller. But we've seen all kinds of cases. I worked one where the identity thief actually got plastic surgery in the member's name. I went out and bought Porsches. So we've seen it all. We've got lots of war stories. But once it starts getting into the court system, we do like to loop those attorneys in. And we'll ask them first if they ask the member if they do have the Legal Shield program. If they do, we will get their consent to go ahead and forward their information to have a provider firm contact them. If they say yes, then that's a seamless process. One less thing for the customer to worry about. They're going to get that call from that attorney so they can get that part taken care of. The attorneys need information from us, we give it. If we need information from the attorneys, we get it. So that's kind of the whole referral process, and it's been very successful. We've got lots of good feedback from our members. Here's another video from Jimmy Lunders. Anybody work with Jimmy before? Jimmy Lunders? All right. He's going to give us an example of kind of how this referral works.
And we're back with Jimmy Lunders. He's going to talk a little bit about a case that he had opened. And this is a great example of the attorney referral service and the provider law firm. So, Jimmy, if you want to tell us about it.
Sure. I had a member who had contacted us. She had some longstanding fraud issues. Her problem started a number of years previous to her calling us, where she had a live-in babysitter, of course, who, being in her home, had access to all of her information and proceeded to use that to open up accounts and do things like that, just kind of standard identity theft things mm-hmm. in her name. And kind of as time went on, the member knew about these things, within a year or so after they happened, and started, being notified, but didn't really know how to contact all the creditors correctly and make sure that everything was cleared. She had tried to do some disputing herself, but hadn't really been successful in taking care of everything, but she didn't realize that until a number of years after the fact, when she saw that her credit was really a mess. And that all of it stemmed back to her initial identity theft issue. Kroll was able to open a case for her and give her some assistance. A lot of things, even though they were older accounts and collections, we were able to get them cleared. But we did have one exception, which plays into the attorney referral here, in that one of the collectors had taken her to court for the amount that was owed and had actually gotten a summary judgment filed against her. Now, she had never received proper notice that she was being sued, and so she never responded. And in a situation like this, this is where the attorney referral program is so valuable, in that, unfortunately, as a fraud investigator, I can't go, of course, to her local courthouse and file a motion to get that judgment taken care of. But a local attorney through prepaid legal can do that. And so that's something we've been able to utilize, especially in her case and a few others, where we've kind of been able to, hand the ball off to those folks in prepaid legal and the Legal Shield and have that taken care of for her and for people with similar issues.
Cool. Thank you, Jimmy Lunders.
Perfect example. We see it every day, and it works. It's powerful. What stood out to you from that video? Just an example of how it works, right? Long-standing issues. Now, that's why it's so important for someone to have this service in place, so they can just pick up the phone and call. Something that goes on for a long time, we're able to handle it, especially with the attorneys. But it's very important for people to call us when they think something's going on and already have that membership in place. Jimmy was able to close out all the issues except for one. We got the attorneys involved. They got everything cleared up. So huge success story for us. We do like to visit with associates. I know it's the first time in Utah. I wish it weren't. I wish we were able to come back more often. But we have gone all around the nation trying to talk about the services. Here's a few listings where we've been. Just out of Salt Lake last night. So thank you for that. We definitely get some more red dots up here. But thank you so much again for having me here. Like I said earlier, we take the feedback that we get back to the office and we try to work. So, later on this afternoon, if you got something that you want to talk about, come see me so I can take it back to the office. This is the Associates Only website. That's what we call it anyways. How many people have seen this site, used it? Great resource. I mean, we get calls all the time from associates that want more material, more marketing, and we have the marketing department set up, of course, at Legal Shield. This is an excellent resource for you. Just log on to the Legal Shield Associates Only website. Go to the marketing tabs up at the top. Click Identity Theft Shield. You have all sorts of resources at your fingertips. We've got the investigator insights, which are put together by our investigators on trends and all sorts of information, so you can stay abreast of the current topics and be able to talk about them when you're out there selling the product. ShieldActivate.com. We're always working to improve this site. We've got new graphics up there. try to make it a lot more user-friendly, try to get into the more standards with other websites, but we're constantly doing work on the site. In fact, that's a lot of what my group does, is a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, the operations, make sure things working great so all the products and services are delivered as they should. But check it out if you haven't been there in a while. Sometimes, you know, people, they're not going to go to the site until they get notified that they have some sort of alert or no activity. So one thing we've been trying to do is do more of the proactive, you know, reaching out to the customer. The newsletter. Have you guys gotten feedback about the newsletter? Okay. Yeah. Great information. Again, that's being proactive. That's not waiting until someone gets an alert or no activity report to go to the website to learn more about what's available to them. So that's going to be coming up. I'll show you an example. Another thing I want to touch on here is the actual credit monitoring alert. We've got the old style on the left, new style on the right. Which one looks better? All right, we should have done this a long time ago. But anyways, we got it in place. We got the HTML version, so we got the graphics in there. So when someone does get an alert, they're able to go right to the website, find out what that alert is. And I believe that's a picture of our email that's going out to members. Of course, we got the investigator tips. Let's talk about that email that's been going out to your customers. I want to talk a little bit about, because we're able to track all the clicks and all every time that it's opened. On the right, you'll see kind of the industry norm. I do want to point out that the people who open it is 27.8%. Industry norm of opening these types of emails is 19.47%. So that just shows the loyalty, the brand, the affinity that you have with your customer base. People who clicked on it but didn't open it was 15.3%. Industry norm, 3.7%. Huge. Clicks on link, we're able to find out what articles are most appealing to the members so we can do more of them. Number one was the Protect Your PII While on Vacation, followed up by just going to the actual Shield Activate website, and then about credit and debit card fraud, which is by far the most common type of fraud that we see. So it's definitely working. We want to do more of it. One new feature of Shield Activate that we've recently added was My Investigator. I love this feature. As an investigator, I used to get tons of people calling in. They're calling from their car, and I've got so much information to give them. And at the very end of the day, at least I want them to know my name and extension, my phone number, so they can call me back directly. People driving in the car may not be able to jot all that down. So this feature is great. Once they call in and talk to one of our investigators and receive consultation, I believe it's within minutes. I mean, it's pretty much instantaneous. They can go back onto the site and find out who their investigator was, their phone number, how to reach them by phone and email. So it's a great service. And this information stays up there. So if we do any type of restoration work or get anything fixed for you, let's say years and years go by, you're able to come back right back and find out exactly who you talked to and get back in touch with them. We do have some new features coming out. SMS text messaging will be available soon. That's going to be a great feature. That's what it's going to look like. Another new feature is My Risk Assessment. Members will be able to go on there and take a risk assessment. And all this is geared to drive usage. Like I said, it needs to be an interactive experience. You know, our company, Legal Shield, it's all about building those relationships. This is going to prompt a lot of people to give our investigators a call, to log on to Shield Activate, to use the products and services that are available to them. So be looking for this soon. Now I want to get into some trends with identity theft. Of course, we're on the front lines. We hear all of it every day. So this is something you can kind of take back to your members and use in your different sales cycles. So hacking, of course, still on the rise. Best thing to do there is always keep your security software up to date. Child ID theft, huge. Of course, we've got our Safeguard product. Encourage anyone with minor children to sign up for that Safeguard product. Actually read an article recently that they were talking about there's a problem now where, this is so sad, foster children are having their identity stolen by the foster parents. It's absolutely heartbreaking, unbelievable. But it's so rewarding, again, that we have products in place. And, of course, we do the full consultation and restoration for minors as well. Situational scams. Scams in general are really hard. It's heartbreaking for us because we always tell people, you never pay a debt that's not yours. Never send money off to someone who you don't know who you're sending it to. In situations like that, I'm just going to be honest with you, probably not going to be able to get your money back. Someone wires their money, you know, they're a victim of the Nigerian scams, the lottery scams. You know, pay us $100 and we're going to send you a check for, or cash this check is the way it works. Cash this check, send us a portion of it, and then you get to keep the rest. No, it doesn't work that way. They're going to be out of the money. That check's going to bounce, and you're going to be out the money. We hear it all the time, so just make sure everyone's informed when you're out there talking with members about scams. This is a great resource. FTC.gov. It's a consumer sentinel. FTC.gov. It's really detailed. You can find a lot of identity theft trends. And it's also, you can narrow down to specific areas. So you'll be able to target different markets you're working in. You'll be able to find what's relevant. And that's one way to get your foot in the door, is to really have targeted specific information to who you're speaking with. FTC.gov, Consumer Sentinel. Time for another quiz. For the last X number of years, identity theft was the leading consumer complaint filed with the Federal Trade Commission. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you know what? I didn't give you the choices, did I? You get extra credit if you get this one right. What was the answer? 11. Wow. That is impressive. That's awesome. You're welcome. All right, we got another one. Should we continue the style of trying to answer before the questions even come up to answer? What is the best way to handle pre-approved credit card offers if you are not interested in the offer? Throw them away. Request that your name be removed from the mailing list. Shred the offers. Return them to the sender. All right, so a shred, that's a great answer because that's what I do with them. I shred them all. But one other thing you do is request that name be removed from the mailing list. One way to do that is through optoutprescreen.com. Now, my book, you got that question right, because that's exactly what I do, is I shred them. And I opt out prescreen. So, nice job. Yes, let me go back one slide if I can. It's opt out, O-P-T-O-U-T, prescreen.com. Opt out prescreen, there it is, .com. All right, this is our investigator, Dominique. Anybody work with Dominique? All right. She's pretty serious.
I'm here with Dominique. Dominique, what is something you like most about your job?
Well, one of the main things is I get to speak to interesting people, and some of their issues revolving around identity theft are pretty complicated. So it's always very satisfying to be able to help them resolve things that they, when they first call in, you know, they're all upset about, they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're able to go through the process, you know, they're able to come up the end clearer because we are able to get the issues resolved for them. So that's been pretty satisfying with the job.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What are one of your more memorable calls or cases that you've had that you can share with us?
Yeah, well, right now I'm working with an 80-year-old great-grandmother, actually, whose granddaughter used her personal information to get at least 3 cars and open a lot of credit accounts and so on. So at 80 years old, you know, calling in and having this issue, she was kind of She didn't want to file a police report and so on, but she went ahead and did this. And as a result of that, we've been able to get practically all their issues cleared. We only have one issue now outstanding, which we hope should be cleared up soon.
Oh, wow.
But she's been, you know, she's been a trooper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's hung in there with me and me with her, and she's very, very grateful at the outcome of the process.
Yeah, those are sticky situations with
With relatives is pretty sticky because sometimes the creditors don't want to clear you since it is a relative involved. But once the member goes ahead and files that police report, more often than not, they're cleared from the... Once they're willing to prosecute, that's the main thing. You're willing to prosecute your family member.
Mm-hmm.
And she struggled with that, but in the end, she did go ahead and file the police report because she realized that she could not deal with that being in her name at 80 years old, having all these collectors and so on calling her.
Mm-hmm.
So once she filed that police report and we filed the disputes and so on her behalf, like I said, we only have one issue right now outstanding.
That's awesome. How long have you had that case open?
I think it's been over a year now. I think it started in August of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long one.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, she's hung in there with me and we're almost through. Hopefully the last one will be cleared soon and then she'll be set.
Nice.
Another success story. Did it get you excited? See the value in the product. What stood out to you in that video? Family member, tough situation. You see it all day long. Yes. Yeah, it's always a touchy subject. That's another importance to have that relationship with the investigator, someone that you can rely on to really communicate about these sensitive issues. Yep. The comment was that she stayed with it. It took over a year. I'm still working on it. I will say on average, most of our full restoration cases take about 6 months to complete. Now, that doesn't mean there's no results. In fact, we get results on this first call. Like I said, before we even get that fraud packet out to the victim, you know, we're doing conference calls, we're talking with creditors, we're trying to find out what is the root of the identity theft and how do we fix it and formulate a customized plan. That happens on the very first call. Oftentimes, we're able to get accounts shut down on that call. That's our goal. First thing we want to do is protect the consumer, get those fraud alerts in place to prevent additional fraudulent activity, get those accounts closed. All that happens, that's the very first step. Then we get that fraud packet out to the victim, and our next step is to get everything cleared up. Anywhere where that information exists, that fraudulent information exists, we need to get it cleared. And then the reason why these cases can go on for so long and the reason why our average is 6 months is that's because after everything's restored, we put the consumer on a waiting period, say 2-3 months, just to make sure there's no more red flags that pop up, make sure there's no more fraudulent activity that happens. We pull another tri-merge credit report from all three credit bureaus, make sure everything's clear, run different types of non-credit searches, make sure there's no other evidence of identity theft. So that you know when Kroll closes out a case, that it's cleared. And if anything were to ever come back up again, you know who to call, and you know how we're going to get it done. Now, there are some misconceptions out there, and you probably hear quite a bit of them in your daily work, too. Some of the more common ones I want to go over is identity theft can be prevented. I don't know if you've ever heard that one before. We hear it all the time. There's many ways to reduce your risk, but identity theft can never be prevented. I can become a victim tomorrow, just like anyone else. That's why it's so important to have this program in place and have the access already available to the licensed investigators. Some companies guarantee I won't become a victim. How many of you have heard that one before? Read the fine print. I cannot stress it enough. Read the fine print. You know how it works. You've been on all the other competitors' websites. If I become a victim of identity theft, I will have to pay the debts incurred by the thief. What do you think? Wrong. It's important, like I said, to never pay a debt that's not yours because it's likely we may not be able to get that money back, even with the attorneys. I'll just go ahead and say that. Now, I've had some success in the past, but in general, it's pretty much gone. So that's why it's so important to know that you have someone to call when red flags do pop up before you even think about sending any money anywhere. Of course, there's all sorts of laws, consumer laws in place. We know them. Our investigators are CITRM certified. We have many investigators that are FCRA certified. We know the Fair Credit Billing Act, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. We're able to give reliable information to you. We're able to use that information with creditors to get results. I shred all my documents, and I subscribe to credit monitoring. Tools and practices can reduce your risk, but nothing can absolutely prevent it 100%. How about this? I have a low credit score. I don't use credit. We hear that all the time. Here's the truth. Only a small portion of identity theft is credit related. And I always tell people, you know, they think, who would want my credit? I mean, I used to hear that all the time. Even if you're not using it or you don't want your credit, a thief will use it. They don't care what your credit score is. If they can get something for your information, they're going to try. And oftentimes they succeed. Everything is in my spouse's name. Just because you aren't using your identity doesn't mean a thief isn't. That's just the plain truth right there, folks. All right, let's do another quiz. Identity theft can be prevented, but some ID theft products will pay you $1 million if you become a victim. Boss, you sure? $1 million, come on, you sign up, right? True or false? All right, let's see, I got to call on somebody here. False, of course. Again, read the fine print, that's my mantra for today. Read the fine print. try to convince family members, good one. All right. Or do that. You got them, right? Call them and use them. Yep, that's what they're there for. Let's go over what could happen. There's all sorts of identity theft. As I mentioned earlier, only some of it's credit related. We get a lot of calls from people who receive calls from debt collectors. It's a scary situation to be in. That debt collector, it's their sole purpose to try to get you to pay the debt. And they don't always have the right person. And if you're a victim of identity theft, they definitely don't have the right person, but they think they do. We get calls from elderly people who just do not know what to do. We get calls from young people who've never experienced this before, do not know what to do. You know, the way that the collection companies work, they'll often find, you know, if your name is John Smith, you know, they're going to call every John Smith in town until they find the right one. And they don't care who pays along the way. So that's why it's important to let us get on the phone. We'll call that debt collector with you. We know what questions to ask. I'll skip down to the second one, government benefits. That's a big one, too. A lot of people don't realize, you know, what that could do in their lives if they were victims of identity theft and had some sort of government benefit taken away from them. We've heard plenty of cases where we've resolved those types of issues, got lots of experience in that area. We all know about the criminal identity theft. Someone gets stopped, they use their information, and guess what? They're looking to you to pay that ticket. And then, of course, medical identity theft. That's all of the news these days. And we've seen it a lot come up more recently. You know, the problem with that medical identity theft is not a central repository for all that information. Now, like I said earlier, it's very rare that someone's a victim and there's no red flags. Red flags may be receiving an explanation of benefits, receiving a bill that's not yours, receiving a phone call. So even though we don't have a central repository for medical information, we're able to successfully restore medical identity theft. We've got lots of success stories in that area. Again, we know the laws. We know what HIPAA says, and we're able to work with those medical providers. Let's talk about consultation. I really think it's probably one of the most valuable pieces of the program. Because, like I said, not everything's identity theft. We're able to find that out. So that's really the first thing that we're trying to do in that first call. We're trying to find out, one, is this an error or is this identity theft? If it is identity theft, we want to first protect you against further fraudulent activity. We want to get everything closed, and then we're going to move into restoration services to get everything cleared and then confirm that everything's cleared. But there could be items out there that need legal assistance, and that is really the true power of the program with both products put together, and we're able to get that attorney involved and get everything resolved. This one I call the Restoration 180. you know, just kind of walk through our process. I think this slide's actually up on that the website. If you were logging to Associates Only, you might be able to get this slide for use in your work. But what this really stresses is that relationship. You're going to have that assigned investigator. You're going to build the trust. You have unlimited phone consultation. We encourage so many people just to call us if they think there's anything going on. Maybe nothing. We hope it is. But that's really an important thing to stress to your members. Call us, please. That's what we're here for. The fraud packets, we send them out in an email. Of course, please, no one send back personal information. Remind our customers of this through email because email is not secure. But just the general forms, we can get them out to you in an email, and it includes a business reply envelope that you're able to print off and affix to your envelope so you don't have to pay the postage. But you get that back to us through the mail or even fax if we could do it faster that way. But we remind everyone, please don't email the information back to us, but we do send the forms out through email, which really speeds up the process. And then we do not stop until it's complete, until it's done. You know when you've got your identity restored from Kroll, it's done the right way, the first time to completion. Probably one of the biggest questions I get is Kroll, Identity Theft Shield, and our market differentiators. Of course, we have licensed investigators. The reason that's important is because they have a permissible purpose to access different databases. And all that happens on that first consultation. We use a limited power of attorney. We call it limited because it's limited to the scope of the investigation and to 180 days. That gives confidence to the member because they may not want to sign over a limited power of attorney for a long time. If we need to get a new one, we will. But we found 180 days will allow us to do our work, get everything restored, and gives a lot of peace to the member, too. And then really just the power of the program. There's all sorts of information on that website I was telling you about, through the Associates website, that you can download success stories all day long and share them with people. They really resonate with people. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone that didn't know someone who was a victim and had some of these similar stories. So that's just really important to show the power of the program when you're out there. This is a great one. Put this one in your back pocket. Spouses are free. Find another program that does that. You know, you get someone on the fence, it's a family program. We're a family business. Very important. Spouses for free. All right, we got one more quiz. This is for all the marbles. Someone's going to get the stylish Kroll lunch bag. You'll be able to take to the office and be the envy. All right, now this one, I'm gonna read the question. We'll go through all the answers, and then we'll have a volunteer. Okay, even though Bob and Betty, a married couple, have only joint credit accounts, they must each subscribe to credit monitoring as individuals to watch for signs of credit-related ID theft. True or false? Who's it going to be? Yes, ma'am. Lovely lady in the gray suit. Yep. Kevin? Okay, actually, I lost place in the question here. Kind of, yeah. Now, do they each have to, basically, spouses are included. Do they each have to subscribe to credit monitoring? The answer is, I think as you said, true. And I'll tell you why. Spouses are included in the program, but they have their own identities. Think of individuals with their own identities. They got their own credit profiles. You may have joint accounts. I mean, this isn't about just your joint accounts. This is about your full identity. And that's why it's important to have each spouse sign up for the credit monitoring. So thank you so much for volunteering. All right, I think I left plenty of time for us. How are we doing on time? Got about a half hour. That's what I planned for. So I don't know how you want to do this, Dave.
If you have a question, send it towards the center of the aisle, and then they'll pick them up.
Thank you.
power. Got our first question in here. What is contained in a fraud packet? How much does a member have to be involved time-wise when you have a power of attorney? Great questions. Let's first cover the first question is, what is contained in a fraud packet? For most types of identity theft, we require, of course, the limited power of attorney, because we've got to be able to do this work for you legally, so that's required. There's a credit authorization form that's required for our tri-merge credit reports. Those are important because although not every type of identity theft is credit-related, a lot of it will affect your credit. So that's why we have the tri-merge credit report, and we do have to get authorization to pull that. We also ask for a copy of the driver's license, a copy of a social security card, and a copy of the utility bill to prove your current residential address. Again, lots of PII. That's why it's important to send it through the mail, not through email. But it's a very simple packet to put together, a couple forms to sign, LPOA notarized. You get that back to us when we finish our work. How much does a member have to be involved time-wise when you have a power of attorney? We can do a lot with our power of attorney. We can write letters. We can make phone calls. But we really need to know everything that's going on. We need to know the history of what's happened. It's very important to have regular communication with the customer. So there is some time involved on the phone with that customer. We rely on them to let us know sometimes if there's anything new happening. We don't know if they receive a call from a debt collector. It could happen. So we are able to do a lot with that LPOA, but it does require some time from the members to keep us up to date. How do you change someone who calls you? How do you charge someone who calls you to help them? That is not part of a membership like Legal Shield. Now there is a through Legal Shield a special pricing for pre-existing. I don't know if you all know what the pre-existing exclusion is, but if you've found out about the identity theft situation before you sign up for the program, then we're unable to do the restoration services that are included with Legal Shield. Now, quote me on this. Does not mean that we cannot help the person. We can do the consultation. We can get on the phone, call those creditors, call who we need to. Our philosophy is we do everything we can for the member, absolutely everything we can. But let's say somebody does need those full-on restoration services. It is available at a discounted rate through Legal Shield. All right. What is difference between Kroll's licensed investigators and would it be competitors with their trained professionals? What is the difference between Kroll's licensed investigators and would be competitors with their trained professionals? Now, I know a lot of other companies out there do say they have licensed investigators. Like I said, read the fine print. One of the main benefits we have is access to those different databases that you have to have a permissible purpose to access. And that license gives us that purpose. It's a very valuable tool. I cannot imagine doing what we do without it. I don't know if the other competitors have that or not, but that's why it's important that we have that. How do you fix problems with MIB? MIB is the Medical Information Bureau. Different insurance companies will report to the MIB. It's probably our best shot at having some sort of central repository, which there's pros and cons to having that sort of thing. But only, I would say, maybe 20% of people have information at the MIB. It is something that we often look into to try to get some sort of file disclosure and to figure out what's there. So we do work with the MIB, but it's not in any way a centralized repository, and only a small portion of people have information with the Medical Information Bureau. What is the fastest growing segment of ID theft? That's a great question. Crooks are out there every day trying to find vulnerabilities, trying to find a way to take advantage of people and get something for themselves. We've all heard in general how fast identity theft is growing. So, I would say all areas are growing fast. But there are some new things that are coming about, like I mentioned, with the minor children and the foster parents. Of course, hacking is still on the rise and different scams. The sort. Well, all right. Let's take what I got here. Define a pre-existing condition. That's where someone knew about an identity theft situation before they purchased the membership. That does not mean that they were victims before. It just means that they knew about it. So when we're talking with the victim, one of the first things we want to find out is when did you find out about this? But really, like I said, it's a selling point, really, because you don't ever know when you're going to be a victim. So you need to have the coverage in place. But we do have different products available if we need to do full restoration. And like I said, we will stop at nothing to help someone who calls in, so we're often able to help them on consultation. That is a good question. If you don't find the person who committed the act, how does that get handled for the person who has gotten their identity stolen? You know, you hear a lot of stories about Kroll and our capabilities. And personally, with my background, I used to chase the bad guys, and parts of me wish I could do that again. But we're not law enforcement. We're not out there catching the bad guys. Law enforcement does that. It's important to get those identity theft police reports filed to make sure that they at least have something to go on. And hopefully, we have all kinds of stories where the perpetrator was caught. The one I was telling you about that I worked with, the plastic surgery and the Porsches, I worked with the U.S. Postal Inspectors, the law enforcement arm of the post office, and they put together a full case. Turns out, I found out a few months later that a routine traffic stop happened, and the perpetrator was picked up and arrested because of that. So we do hear from time to time, and we love it, to hear when these crooks get caught. But we personally do not go out there and find the person. When your information changes, I guess that would mean if you were to move or have a new address, or maybe your last name changes, is it necessary to contact both Legal Shield and Kroll, or will Legal Shield forward your info to Kroll? Legal Shield forwards all the info to us. They are known as the database of record. So if you have any change, you don't have to worry about contacting us and Legal Shield. Just go straight to Legal Shield, and it's all taken care of for you. What's your favorite success story? Probably the one I've been talking about. we have success stories every day. And well, actually, you know what? I'll retract my statement. My favorite success stories, there's not a lot of glory in this, but for me, I love it. It's when someone calls in and they think it's identity theft and it's not, and we're able to confirm that on the call. I mean, that's huge because we see that more than identity theft. And it's just as scary for that member thinking that they're a victim than it is if they really were a victim. But to have that peace of mind on that first call. So I will say that is my favorite success story. How are we doing, Tom? We've got time. If someone is already in an identity theft situation and spending major time and money, can they join Legal Shield and get help? Absolutely. Sign them up. We'll take anybody. The Federal Trade Commission says ID theft can take hundreds of hours for ID theft victims to get everything resolved. Why so many hours? How long does it take Kroll to fix? Covered this a little bit earlier. You know, it really varies to the extent of the identity theft. Our average time for a full restoration is 6 months. That does not mean that someone's identity is not restored before 6 months. It happens quick. We're getting those accounts closed. We're protecting the members from additional fraudulent activity. We're getting everything cleared. We've got to do the waiting period to make sure anything doesn't come back up. We've got to make sure every part, including credit and non-credit, everywhere we can search, is searched to make sure everything's resolved. So that's why, on average, it does take 6 months. Hundreds of hours, you know, I would say that, you know, for somebody that's going to have to piece this together themselves, it could take a considerable amount of time. You've got lots of information on the Federal Trade Commission website that I imagine someone's going to, many different other websites. We've seen where people have tried to handle it themselves, and you know, we just have a successful process. We know what we're doing. We've streamlined it. A lot of, you know, businesses know our name is Kroll, so we're able to get, I would say, the solution much faster than the average person may be able to. All right. Deceased person, this is a good one. MSN reported that the deceased ID theft is on the rise. Is Kroll seeing a rise in this area? You don't have to say maybe a slight rise. Now, one thing that you'll probably be shocked to find out is that deceased individuals have their social security numbers published online. Part of the Death Master, it's out there. Now, the good thing is that once it's reported to the Social Security Administration, that credit file should be locked down. But that doesn't mean that a deceased person may not be a victim of some sort of other type of identity theft. We cover deceased minors, adults, we cover everyone. So we have a lot of success with working cases for deceased individuals. Why do you use Experian as your first choice bureau for monitoring? Do you feel it is the best one, most reliable? You know, we have found that Experian is very comprehensive. But like I said, you know, you got the gold program out there for the three bureau monitoring if somebody wants it. The one bureau monitoring, great. It's a great product. I mean, it's very rare that someone's not going to report a new account to all three credit bureaus. So that's why we're able to have so much success with the one bureau product. Experian, I found personally, it is very comprehensive reporting, but I guess, you know, that's probably why we've gone with it. Thanks to whoever wrote this one. Thank you for your service to our country, fellow veteran, Brother Terry. Thank you very much. Thank you, Terry, for your service. You know, I know there's a lot of you out there, former military, former law enforcement. Want to commend you all for your service and also for your service with this program. Because even though you weren't, you know, maybe over there in Iraq or whatever, you're at home helping so many people with this problem of identity theft and helping them with their legal troubles. I mean, that's huge. That's why this business is so successful when you look at that product. So thank you all for your service. I appreciate it. Can you request credit reports from the other two bureaus? That's a great question. I should have covered this earlier. Shame on me. But annualcreditreport.com is the only place to go to get your free credit file disclosure. It's one website. It's set up by the government, annualcreditreport.com. Many of you have heard about freecreditreport.com, those other services. Now, they want you to sign up. They want you to pay for a membership to get your free annual disclosure when it's free to you anyways. So annualcreditreport.com is the only place to go. It's going to send you directly to the credit bureau's websites to get that free disclosure. So very important. We recommend that you do it every 12 months, and some people will pick one credit bureau, wait 3 months to another credit bureau, and so on. If someone had the service and is now deceased, can the family member request to check for that, the ID theft, if they believe there's a problem? If you believe there's a problem, give us a call. We encourage that for anyone. I can't stress that enough. But yes, if someone had the service now deceased and you think there's a problem, by all means, call us. How many calls per day come into the Kroll office on average? It does vary, but we see at least 100 calls a day. So, we're at it all day long. I think I've gone through most of these. Oh, here we go. Tell us some stories about your undercover work in the military. Yeah, can't talk about it. What kind of training do investigators get to do this job, and how many officers in the U.S. Where do they get the training and their field work? There's a lot of training that goes into our investigators. Of course, there's the licensing, plus this learning about all the different types of identity theft that could happen and how to correctly restore each one. Like I said, many of our investigators are CIDRM certified. I think probably a lot of you are CIDRM certified. That's the Certified Identity Theft Risk Management Specialist. A lot of them have their certification in FCRA. We have to know those laws to be successful. They're consumer protection laws, and we need to know them to get results. So there's quite a bit of training. All that takes place in our Nashville office, and that's where our operations come from. Because we're able to deliver the service over the phone, we're able to reach everyone anywhere in the world. If someone goes on vacation and has a problem out of the country, as long as they can call us, we're going to be able to help them. So, that everything happens out of that Nashville office. We also have an office up in Toronto for our Canadian folks. What kind of impact has your partnership with Legal Shield had on Kroll? Oh, come on, it's huge. I mean, it's just been, the perfect combination from day one. I can't imagine our business without Legal Shield. So it's had a huge impact. I think we've covered how long it takes to resolve an ID theft case. Ooh, wow, this is a touchy one. What would Kroll do in the event a couple who had an ID theft services had one person commit fraud in the other person's name? We've seen it before. It's going to follow the same types of protocol that we do for everyone else. We're going to try to restore that identity. Now, oftentimes, if there hasn't been an official divorce, it can be really tricky. Anytime you get into any type of identity theft committed by a family member, it gets really sticky, but we've had success in getting everything disputed. I think you heard on the video from one of our investigators, we do ask that the victim file a police report, and they really need to be willing to prosecute. But that is important for resolution, but very, very sensitive area, as you know, and that's kind of the other responsibility that our investigators have is not just how to resolve everything and give out the right information, but how to approach those subjects sensitively so that we can make our members feel comfortable. No, there's no conflicts. The question was, are there any conflicts if they're both members of Kroll, I guess, that same account? Even though the spouse is included for free, we look at those as two separate memberships because they're two separate identities. So there's no conflict. We're going to proceed as we would, just like we would for anyone else. Is there any questions I haven't covered that we could just throw out here? The question was, there was a victim of identity theft who had the services, and they went ahead and, they didn't call Kroll, but they went ahead and probably felt a lot of pressure from the banks to pay up, so they did that. And should they call in now, is there any way to get that money back? Yes, they should definitely call in now. We'll do everything we can to help that member, maybe get the attorneys involved on that one. It's hard to say, once, you pay a debt that's not yours, you're in a sense kind of, saying you're responsible for that debt. But that doesn't mean we won't do everything we can to help the person. So, yes, call. The question was, should you call the attorneys first or the investigators at Kroll? Really depends on the issue. I mean, if you know that it has anything to do with fraud or identity theft, go ahead and call the investigators first. If it's any type of dispute outside of fraud and identity theft, you could start with the attorneys. But even if you don't know who to call, just, you know, call someone. We'll get you where you need to go if it's not identity theft. Sir. That's a good question. I know it's a discounted rate. $7.99. There it is. I believe that's right. $799 for the question was how much does it cost if someone has a pre-existing exclusion and needs our restoration services? And the answer is, and I believe this is correct, $799. I knew it was around $800. That's true. I believe it's $14.99 actually. If you're not a member and need restoration services, $1,499. Huge discount. But listen, we don't. When someone calls in with a pre-existing exclusion, we're not charging them. We're not going to automatically assess that fee, even though it's a deep discount rate. We're going to find out if it's really warranted. If it's something we can fix right then and there, we're going to do it. Well, yeah, Safeguard has been successful, very successful, because you know, minors should not have credit files. Now, there are some parents out there that think it would be wise to build their child's credit, and they're able to add them onto a card, which does create a credit file at the Bureau, and they're going to get a hit through the Safeguard product. But, yeah, we have tons of stories where a parent is called in with some sort of credit activity that was suspicious, and lo and behold, it was identity theft, and we're able to restore it. I don't have one in particular, but we can, I mean, there's all kinds of information on that site. I'd look for one there. Hours of operation, Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Time, so you're looking at 6 to 6 your time, is when our offices are open. Now, you know, I would say it's important that you give us a call even on the weekend. We return all the calls that we receive on the weekend, and so please give us a call so that we can get a call back out. Yes, sir. Well, the question was, after we do a successful restoration, do we counsel the members so that they don't make the same sort of mistake? To be honest with you, it's rarely ever the fault of the victim. You know, our information is out there everywhere. I can't even tell you how many times, you know, I've had to go for medical services. You've got to write your name and Social Security down there. Those that were in the service, you know, the Social Security number is your identifier in the military. You know, I remember going to just a firing range and just a simple little range card, you've got to put your name and social in there. Our information is out there and for a thief to pick up and use. And it could happen to anyone. So I think our members do learn a lot from the process. We really work hard to educate our members throughout the process. So they walk away with a substantial amount of knowledge, even though it was not their fault. Yes, sir. Oh, the question was, is there a national database that would, that where they, you know, once a criminal identity theft is caught, is the information housed? I know law enforcement has those databases, and they do log that information once someone is caught or captured. NCIC, that's what it was. I couldn't remember. Thanks, Mark. Yep, NCIC. This is the database. Yeah, well, the comment was that this gentleman received an email saying that the Department of Defense was hacked and personal information was compromised. You know, I'm sure there probably isn't a single person in here that doesn't have some sort of notice that their information has been compromised. That's on the AKO account, which is Army Knowledge Online, which is a military email account. I have one of those too. To be honest with you, I probably get more Nigerian letters in spam through my Army email than I do through the regular ones. I mean, email is not a secure form of transmitting information. Crooks are going to use it even though it says .mil at the end of it. Now, in your case, you were notified of a breach incident. Maybe that wasn't legitimate. I don't know. It's hard to say. Most companies that have a breach incident will send a written notification, but some do email notifications. Sir? Do we know who the perpetrators are? Say again? They are everywhere, anywhere you can imagine. It's rare that we do find out the perpetrator of the crime. Hopefully law enforcement does, and that's why we notify the United States Postal Inspector when we open any restoration case. That's why we advise the member to go file a police report with the local law enforcement. Guys, law enforcement is stretched, to the max. That's why these criminals are flourishing, but they will do whatever they can to find them. And we do have stories where they have found them. We love to hear about them. Yes, sir. The question was when a lot of information from the DOD, top secret classified information, was released through WikiLeaks, were we all over it trying to figure out what's going on? We've got people that are dedicated just to that. All they do all day long is try to find out where information has been compromised. We have certified privacy professionals on staff who are always looking at those things, what's going on in the news and media. I don't know if we work directly in that sort of engagement, but we're definitely kept abreast of all that. Yes, sir. The question was, we get with the initial credit report, there's a credit score included. And can we get additional credit scores if the member wants? Now, that credit score is with that initial credit report. It's on that initial first one. So we don't include it on future reports. The reason being is that credit score is not a really good indication of identity theft. It's really the information that's in that report that you're going to want to look through. So we don't want people to just look at a score because they may be lulled into a false sense of security. It's really important to look at each individual item on that report, and that serves as kind of the baseline. And then you have the monitoring service, which is going to let you know when there's changes in that report. So that's how it's worked best for us. Sir? The question was, can we explain the monitoring that we have in place? And then after identity theft, what future monitoring is involved? Now, with the products, with the green and gold, you got the credit monitoring. That's going to let you know when there's key changes in that credit report. The credit bureaus are a central repository for credit information. That's what allows that monitoring to take place. That's why when you look at that, there's no medical identity theft monitoring because it's not a central repository. That's why we rely on our members to call us if anything out of the blue doesn't seem right, because that could be an indication where credit monitoring may not pick it up or any other product. And that's why it's so important to have those investigators on your side. Yes, sir. The comment was, local banking here, apparently they're requiring people to sign off on their personal information can be sold or used for marketing purposes. I guess that's part of the disclosure. And is there anything, anything going on to prevent that from happening? I personally haven't been aware of any institutions that actually require it. My personal suggestion is if someone won't grant you services unless you agree that your personal information is going to be shared for marketing services, they should at least give you a way to opt out of that. And if they don't, my first option was go somewhere else, maybe the local credit unions, but it sounds like it's statewide. You know, I guess then if there's not a choice, of course you got to be able to do business with your financial institutions. Really look over that the fine print of that disclosure and where that information is going and how it's going to be used is really the most important thing. And if you disagree with anything, then look at someone else's statement and see what it says. The question was, we've heard that a lot of our investigators are former CIA and FBI agents, and what's kind of required to become an investigator. You know, we've found it beneficial to hire people with experience in a lot of different areas. So we have people from that actually used to work at the credit bureaus. We, of course, have the former law enforcement, the military, FBI. We have people from the financial institution because it's all these different experiences from different professional fields that once you put it all together, we're able to come up with the best solutions. Sir? The question was, is there a way to proactively search to see if your Social Security number is being used by an illegal immigrant for work purposes? Now, you're going to want to review, I guess the answer to that is you're going to want to review all of your statements from the Social Security Administration. You can go to the local Social Security Administration office and request what's called a detailed wage earnings report. That should include any type of work activity that's authorized or unauthorized. We have had plenty of cases before where people have worked under someone, and then we've got the IRS involved, and they're trying to make you pay for taxes on wages you didn't earn. So we've successfully worked with the IRS. They've gotten a lot better, too, of the problems the IRS has. And they have their own office now for this type of fraud, so anything with tax fraud. And we've got a relationship with them that we're able to utilize. Sir? Yeah, absolutely. The question was, if someone were to lose some of their personal information, such as a lost or stolen wallet, their ID, any type of sensitive information, yes, indeed. If it's lost, you definitely want to give us a call. We're probably going to recommend placing fraud alerts with the credit bureaus, but we also want to walk through best practices on things to watch out for so that you can give us a call if anything happens. We also will find out how to get those items replaced. If there's a specific office you need to go to in your region, we're going to look it up real quick and try to make it as easy for you as possible to get everything replaced. Sir? Is Legal Shield our biggest client? Absolutely, and our best. Yes, ma'am. I don't know if I'm quite following. The I-9s. So the question, if someone were to seek new employment, is the hiring company looking to make sure that a name is matched with a Social Security number?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure if there's a specific resource, but I will tell you that's why it's so important and why many companies do the background check. I mean, there used to be only a few companies. Oh, we have an answer over here? Yeah. All right, great. Glad we got that clarification. And, I do want to say one more thing, okay? A lot of institutions, you know, there's so many consumer protection laws out there for individuals, and we know them. That's how we've been able to be so successful. But companies have to get better about recognizing identity theft and fraud, because ultimately it's not going to be the consumer who pays for it. We do it the right way, they're not going to be out the money. So hey, I want to thank everyone for your time today. It has really been a pleasure, and just like I said, met the nicest people. So thank you once again. Appreciate it.
All righty. Come on up here, man. Well, if you didn't get your question answered, it's your own fault. We had tons of great questions, and I know I picked up a lot of things I didn't know. And hopefully everybody goes home here a little bit more empowered, knowledgeable-wise. And to see that, you know, before we formed this relationship, they had 48,000 customers. And now they're over 1 million customers. I think it's been a good working relationship for both of our companies. And if you look at the retention rate for those of us that offer the legal plan, those who get the legal plan with the identity theft is far higher than those who only get the legal plan. So if you're one of those people that say, "Oh well, I only sell the legal plan," you know, they don't really need the identity theft because they don't have good credit, you're throwing away your own money. Because the retention rate, your renewal income, the residual income, you could go years without using the legal plan. Don't ask me how, but I run into people and say, "Yeah, I haven't called in a few years." But with the Kroll product, you're getting an email reminder every single month to remind you that you have a valuable service. Plus, now they're coming out with some really cool tips and stuff like that to inspire you to utilize it more and stuff. So, anyhow, we have a nice little parting gift for you for coming out here. He mentioned that he'd been to Zion National Park a while back, and he just came like at the wrong time of the year. We have the crappiest weather out there right now, because in the summertime we have incredible, wonderful places to go see and things to do, and in the wintertime we've got incredible skiing and snowmobiling and stuff. But there's so many places we wanted to show you. What we're going to do is we're going to send you home with a coffee table book about the state of Utah. But a lot of the leaders here have put a little note in here for you and your wife and kids to read and get to see all the different places that we have here in Utah, so that when you're planning your next vacation and you want to know what should we go see, you're going to see all the great places in Utah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, give them another hand, guys. All right. So we let the cat out of the bag on who's coming next month. But before we get into that, we're going to share another little thing with just you guys that are here today. Those that missed this event, they're not going to get to see this. We are launching an entirely new state website. We've had Utah PPL for many, many years. It's been a great resource. But Mr. Rammelsberg has gone above and beyond the call of duty and putting us together a whole new website. It's going to be UtahLegalShield.com. And if someone accidentally has a bookmark and they go to Utah PPL, it's okay. They're going to just be forwarded to Utah Legal Shield, so they'll never end up back at UtahPPL.com. So you're going to want to make sure you change the bookmarks in your computer for Utah Legal Shield. Let's show them the old site and then the new site. If we can throw up the screens real quick. All right, so here's what you've been used to seeing. Utah PPL. This is the website showing that you know, we had Matthew coming in and stuff. Now you want to take us to the... This is our new website. Right there, guys. And it is packed. Do you guys realize that the briefing that Mr. Travis Anderson did, if there was a statistic or a bullet point or a phrase or something he used, you go, oh man, I'd love to. You realize that his presentation that he did is already on the website. You can go click on, I'm going to take him to show him where. Boom, right there. And then Mr. Travis Anderson's business briefing. Boom, right there. Done. It's already up. And we've got... We don't need to re-listen to it, okay? You can. It was for demonstration purposes, Jason. Mike.
Am I on? Okay. Every Super Saturday, with the exception of maybe one or two, back to 2008. Halfway through 2008 is when we started. You'll be able to come here. You can click on here, download. Do you want to hear Mr. Self from last month? There is the briefing he did, and there's the training.
I mean, if there's been memorable moments in, you know, oh man, the first event I ever went to, you want to rehear it, re-listen to it. Again, Mr. Rammelsberg has imported all this stuff. In fact, take a few minutes and take him on a virtual tour of our new state website.
All right, so we start up here on the homepage. That's where, and one thing that's not done that will be done this weekend is the payment options for people who want to buy tickets online and for the Fast Pass. But you'll always be able to find what the next event is right here on the main page. And on the right-hand side, how many of you know that Utah has a Twitter account? You do now. The Twitter handle is just Utah Legal Shield, all one word. And if you come over here on the right-hand side, you'll be able to see the last three tweets that the account has sent out. This one here I thought was interesting. I was doing a little research last night. It's right after Mr. Self was here last month, I sent that out. One person retweeted it, Mr. Self, to his entire organization. Website got a little hit that night. So this is where you'll see any of the upcoming information. Make sure and sign up for Twitter.
If you have a phone right now, it's okay to go and subscribe to that right now It's done, so that when we have changes in events or things go on, we can just send one blast and everyone with a cell phone all of a sudden gets a text message. Bam, here's what's going on. You're in the loop communication-wise.
Just go to Twitter.com and it'll walk you through it.
Twitter.com.
Twitter. And they're called tweets, not twits. So, the next section is we have the events. This is going to be any upcoming corporate events that we have going on. Training is where you're going to find all of the document library and the recording of Super Saturday. So if you come to the library, you can come over and there's a lot of documents on recruiting, selling the membership, getting started right, some group information. And then down at the bottom, there's some actual personal development books. If you want the ebook for Think and Grow Rich, or How to Win Friends and Influence People, or The Science of Getting Rich, those will all be right there as well. Recognition. This is something Mr. Hall and I are going to get put together, just what different recognitions, who the current leaders in the state are. Resources, if you ever were curious what plans were available in Utah, if you click here. Of course, you can get this on your back office, but this you don't have to sign in to get to. And then these are all the different plans, what they cost, and what's available in the state of Utah, as well as our contact information for the law firm. The state calendar, that just takes you off to our normal state calendar. And then here's the cool one, the state leadership page, because Gabby needs a picture, and I'm going to tell her she does. Really? I thought you hated blue.
Good point.
But if you come in here, we're going to try to put some bios in here, possibly get a little more information about the folks. But you can click on any of the leaders. And there more information about them comes up. So, and if you need to... Okay.
Yeah, we got pictures of Gabby. We got pictures for you.
I don't want to see sand pictures. Did I hear Afro Gabby? All right, that's the one. If you need to email any of the state leaders, just click on the email me link. That'll open up whatever your default email is. There's their phone number. And then also, if you just want to do contact us, and you need, if you have any questions about the website, send them to me. I'd be the webmaster. Dave, I'll get George in here as well, and Deanne. And then just put your information in here, and you can send an email out to them from here as well. So there's a lot of stuff that will be changing in the next few weeks, just some updates and things, that. But this is where we are for now.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? That's amazing. Great, great job. I just think back 12 years ago, before the term prepaidlegal.com even existed, and how we had to build the business, what we had to do, and to see the resources that are available, how much easier it is for you to build your business and to grow your business. And this is just, this is literally version one on Utah Legal Shield. We're going to have it continually upgraded, more information, more resources added there for you, so that your business just gets better and better and better. And, you know, for literally the hundreds of hours that Mr. Ramelsberg has put in to building this for us, you guys, if you didn't have the chance to personally thank him in the future, make sure you do thank him for everything that he's done. So again, another hand for Mr. Ramelsberg. All right, so you know Mr. Mason's coming, but we held back another name that's also going to be here with you next month. And as was previously mentioned in the briefing, Mark Shurtleff, our current Attorney General, has been a card-carrying member of our service now for 10 years. And people sometimes would wonder, why on earth would the highest-ranking attorney in the state have our membership? Well, the same reason that a doctor or a surgeon would want health insurance for his family. You handle one area of medicine, and there's a whole lot that you don't. Just the term doctor doesn't mean you do everything. If you ever go to a doctor's office and it says jack of all trades on his certificate hanging on the wall, it's a bad doctor, okay? You know, my brother-in-law is a doctor, but he's a chiropractor. He doesn't deliver our babies. He doesn't fix cavities. He does one area of medicine. Same with the legal industry. There's so many different areas. He's an attorney on one area, and he has 200 attorneys, but he can't even utilize those attorneys for personal issues. You can't use state resources to solve your personal issues. So when his wife and kids have legal situations, he cannot put his attorneys, who are on the clock for the state of Utah, on task to handle his family issues. And so it only makes sense that he would carry our membership, and loves it. And he's been to numerous of conventions of ours to speak in front of tens of thousands of people. He's come here numerous times to let you know, I love this service. Don't hesitate letting people know, I'm a card-carrying member of your service. So if, for those of you that have been to my house, you know that in my office, I have a picture with me and Mr. Shurtleff hanging framed on my wall. If anyone ever wants to poo-hoo, you know, my business or my company, say, oh, you know, what is that thing, Legal Shield, you know, you guys can't get good attorneys. I said, well, that's weird, because we have numerous former attorney generals and even current attorney generals that are card-carrying members of our service. And I simply show them the picture of me with the attorney general. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, this is credible. I'll tell you, that one picture alone has made me tens of thousands of dollars over the years as I just show people. I don't even need to say anything at that point. The credibility when I show me with the Attorney General is overwhelming. Well, after 12 years of service as our Attorney General, I don't know if he's made this public announcement, but he's not running for re-election this next year. Okay? He's not. It's not health issues. His health is doing okay at this point. He's not running. He has many offers for huge paydays. And quite honestly, the job of the Attorney General does not pay very much. It pays six figures, but I'll tell you, he and I have sat down and talked. And he said, Dave, for the last 10 years, you have made more money every single year than I have as the Attorney General. And he's like, I've got a pretty good resume at this point. 12 years as the AG for the state. And there's a lot of places out there that will pay me 5 to 10 times what I make here. And I've done my service to the state. I'm now ready to go and put together some retirement money for me and my wife and my kids and grandkids and so on and so forth. So I'm going to go pursue the almighty dollar. And that's what he's going to do right now. But his chief deputy, Mr. John Swallow, who ran for Congress a while ago, has been his right-hand man for many, many years, is going to replace Mr. Shurtleff. Yes, I realize there is still an election that needs to happen, but I can tell you right now, after looking at the fundraising and the people who endorse him and all the political people out there, Mr. Swallow will be the next Attorney General. There's about a $500,000 gap in fundraising between Mr. Swallow and person number two. Okay? There's not going to be anybody else in this race. Now, I will also let you know, John Swallow bought a membership from me years ago. He has been also a card-carrying member of our service and simply will replace our current Attorney General. You guys, that you realize how many states out there can say we have the current Attorney General as a card-carrying member and the former Attorney General? I mean, the pedigree is just going to keep going on and on and on with what we're creating. He loves this membership. And I met with him about 2 weeks ago. We had lunch together talking about some other political things. And I mentioned that we have Mr. Rip Mason coming out here. Now, you need to understand the history. Mr. Harlan Stonecipher, who started Prepaid Legal, and Mr. Shurtleff have had a very, very close relationship for many years. In fact, Mr. Shurtleff dedicated one of his books to Mr. Stonecipher, and many of you have read that book. And Mr. Swallow said, I would like to create the same relationship with your new CEO as what Mr. Shurtleff had with Mr. Stonecipher. So he said, extend the invitation to Mr. Mason to fly in a little bit early so that we can have him up to the state capitol on Friday and host an event for him and just show him how much we appreciate this company and what they're doing. And then a social event that night, a dinner or something like that we can get together. So I've shot off an email to Melanie Lawson. I've requested Mr. Mason's time for this event. We don't have a location and everything yet because I need to get confirmation that, hey, everything is good. But the invitation is out there on the table, and I think we're going to go ahead and pull it off. So next month, not only are we going to have Mr. Mason here to do our event, but Mr. John Swallow has asked that he come and share with you his vision of where this company is going and how much he loves your business also here. But it gets just a little bit better. We're going to set up an opportunity for you. We're going to have a backdrop with some nice balloons and stuff like that out here in the foyer before the event, that you will have the opportunity to get your picture taken with one or both of them before the event. We will then have them put on a disc and ran to a print store and print it out on 8.5 by 11, nice glossy photo paper, so that at the end of the event you can get their signatures to John. Thank you so much. I love Legal Shield. A personal signature from them, you standing with them, that you can then go make photocopies of. You can put one in your flip book. At the end of your Legal Shield flip book, The last page is you with the Attorney General saying how much he loves your service, or the CEO of our company, or however it looks. We're going to put that together so that you can have an absolute incredible picture of success at the back of your flipbook moving forward. Now, think about it. How valuable is it that you have everyone on your team here for that once-in-a-lifetime event to have them here and get their picture taken? There are some of your people that they don't know what any of this means. They don't know that they're going to miss out on a $1 million opportunity if they're not here next month. And it's going to be your job to inspire them. Oh my gosh, if there's one event you can't miss, it's next month. Then they're going to say, well, who's John Swallow? Rip Mason. I mean, to a brand new person, you say Rip Mason, what does that mean to them? Doesn't mean a lot. They don't know him. You know. So it's your job to now take this out and go promote it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have some requirements to be to the special dinner with our guests for next month. And we've always ran a promotion. Hey, if you buy four, you get the fifth one free. Today, anyone that decides they want their team here, they want to make sure that their team is at this event, that gets four tickets, they'll get the fifth one free, and that will automatically get them into the Friday night dinner event with our special guests for next month. So Mike's already locked up his dinner. So they'll be keeping track of who locked that up. You guys, I can tell you this much. That one picture that I've used for the last 10 years has made me a fortune. Not only that, it has recruited me a ton of skeptics that thought, oh, what is this? And then they saw the picture, and then they're like, wow, they were impressed. What is that picture going to be worth to your team if you have one? But what's it going to be worth to you over the next year if 10 people on your team have it? 20, 30, you make the decision. Tickets are available in the back. We'll see you all next month. If you want to sign Matthew's book, it's going to be up here in the front for a little bit too.